Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Friday to you. Flight deck. Can I get a deck of yeah? 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000. Hey, bro, today, 5-1000, 6 Mississippi, 7 Mississippi, 8 Mississippi. Holy crap, flight deck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. The rare Saturday deck of yeah. And notice I said flight deck. Can I get a deck of yeah? That's right. Notice it took almost an entire 24 hours to get that deck of yeah. The flight deck is in. Yeah, you go ahead and hype yourself out, kid. Hype yourself up, kid. I love it. I love Fridays because the flight deck, James Kelly, is in the house only on Friday. Not only is he in the house on this Friday, but he's sitting in for Alvin DeLauro, as evidenced by the deck of yeah that took almost 60 seconds to get. All right, nice to have you here. We are broadcasting live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Nice to have you here. I am here. The flight deck is here. The entire XR4TI sans Alvin DeLauro is here. Lots to get done. Let me lay out the program for you. Coming up next segment, jungle favorite, South Carolina head basketball coach Frank Martin. That's next segment. Coming up in hour number two, a 9-year NFL vet joining us to help break down the weekend, Darius Butler, played for the Colts. We'll get his thoughts on that matchup. In fact, I've got thoughts on all the matchups, which I'll get to. In hour number three, Marquette head basketball coach Steve Wojciechowski. Yeah, it's a getaway day for me. I'm actually headed to Dallas this evening for the O'Reilly Managers Convention. We do that every single year. One of my favorite events of the year. So I will be in Dallas tonight for that. It's getaway day. That's why I threw on my getaway sweater. Welcome to the program. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, good to have you here. All right, that's the way the show sets up. Let me get you started. Frank Martin coming up next segment. Let me say this about the divisional round. I don't ever remember this round being as close as it is right now. This round, again, is wide ass open. Last night, I got down. I made all four of my picks against the spread. Last night, I felt very good about every one of those picks. I felt like even if I get beat, it's not going to bother me because I can make an argument for every single pick I made. That's not the way it always is, right? You know what I'm saying. I got down last night against the spread. I felt great about every one of those picks. Then I woke up this morning. I literally now can make an argument against everything I did last night and feel good about that. That's how close this round is. I literally feel like every one of these games is a coin flip. And I can't remember the last time that you could say that about all four games. So let's get into it. Let's break it down. 1-800-636-8686. Again, follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at havetake.com. Let's break this thing down. Let me start first with the Chargers and the Patriots. Now, you know, as soon as the clock hit triple zeros in Baltimore, Philip Rivers and the Chargers started thinking about this game. Rivers v. Brady is legendary. Man, I don't care what the record is. It's a legendary matchup. They're both Hall of Famers. Chargers v. Pats is awesome. It's Philip Rivers returning to the stadium where he played in an AFC championship game 6 days after tearing an ACL and a meniscus. Let me repeat that for the people in the back. Philip Rivers played less than a week after tearing the ACL and meniscus in his right knee. What does he remember about that game?
Honestly, it wasn't crazy pain. It kind of buckled a few times in the game, but I really, really was thankful. And throughout the course of that game, I didn't feel like it really hindered me as much as I anticipated.
Let me reiterate that very quickly. That's a dude out there on a shredded knee on the field where 11 other guys are trying to kill him, maybe shred his other knee. But my man's, quote, thankful. He's thankful. I don't know about you. I shred my knee. I'm not coming to work. And I'm definitely not thankful. But my man makes it out like it's a good thing. And that's because this dude is different than the rest of us, tougher than most of us. And in a league of the toughest dudes in the world, he's right near the top of that list. And so is every other dude in that Charger locker room. What I'm saying is, this team is tough. That's what makes this group different than previous Charger teams. Not only are they better, not only are they more talented, they're tougher, absolutely tougher. They're tough as hell. They've gone on the road to Buffalo, Cleveland, Seattle, Oakland, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Denver, Baltimore. They've won in every place. They've used long flights to games. They're used to it. And victory flights home from those games. And now they would like nothing more than to add New England to that list. And it says right here, they've got the team that can do this. Yeah, I said it. Rivers is playing like a guy on a mission. Rivers is playing better than he ever has. And yes, Rivers right now is playing as well or better than Brady is right now. And at this time, he's got better talent. He's got a better supporting cast. He's got more weapons than he's ever had. Even if Melvin Gordon's Uber driver does not want to acknowledge it. And they get after you on D. With that D-line and that secondary, it's a disruptive defense that can create pressure on Brady. With no less than three guys, they can get to him. Most importantly, they can get pressure without bringing extra pressure, which is something you have to have against TB12. Oh, and one more thing. They're really well coached. Really, really well coached. And as I've been saying all along, that Rivers himself does not get the respect he deserves, neither does Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn does not get nearly enough respect. The job that he did last year, turning that season around after that brutal start, does not get talked about nearly enough. And what he's done this year is just as good, maybe even better. The adjustments, for instance, that LA made on both sides of the ball from the first Ravens game to the second were huge. Anthony Lynn outcoached John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh has a Super Bowl ring. So what I'm saying is, while everybody is looking for the next Sean McVay, maybe you look around for the next Anthony Lynn, because this guy can coach. And did I mention these guys are tough? They are. It's a good thing, too, because now they're traveling to the toughest place they could find this season, New England. See, for all the talk about the Patriots, that they're not the Patriots this year, here's something that is very Patriot-like. They're 8-0 at home this year. They've won 8 straight playoff games at home. Foxborough is still a nightmare for opposing teams, especially in January. Fact is, you don't go in there and win. The closest thing to a lock in that sport is the Patriots coming off a bye and hosting a divisional game in the postseason. And yet, they don't really look like the Patriots. They haven't this year. Gronk is banged up. The extra week is going to help him. But he could probably use another week. He could probably use another month. He could probably use an offseason. And if he's not himself, then they're not themselves. The Patriots' pass rush, an issue. Their passing game has not been as sharp. They're going to need a hell of a lot of Sony Michel to pull this off. And it wouldn't surprise me to see a healthy dose of James White out of the backfield, too, as a receiver. You never want to face a Bill Belichick team when he's got that extra week. You never want to make back-to-back East Coast trips. So quickly, let me recap. New England, 8-0 at home. New England, 8 straight playoff wins at home. Rivers, 0-7 against Brady over the course of his career. All the numbers pointing in one direction, which is why I am going the other way. Because something tells me this Charger team is different. This Patriots team is different. This game, therefore, is going to be different. Philip Rivers, Boomer Esiason and I talked about this in my podcast. Boomer's point is, Rivers does not need this game for his resume, that he's already a Hall of Fame lock. He doesn't need it like that, but he wants it. He wants it in the worst way. And it says right here, this is his best team and his best chance to get it, and he will. Everything should say Patriots. Something is telling me Chargers. This is the team that gets it done and the time they get it done. And if they do what I think they're going to do, you best believe the Superchargers theme song is going to be bumping on Monday. I am riding with the Chargers. I'm taking the Bolts to go in there and shock the world. And you know what? If I'm wrong, I'll own it. If I'm wrong, so be it. But you know I'm usually right. When was the last time I was wrong? Tax season is right around the corner, and TurboTax is ready and waiting for you. Check this out. TurboTax Live is a new way to do taxes. It combines tech with on-demand tax pros who can answer your questions and offer personalized advice. Real CPAs and EAs can help you with your return and find all the deductions that apply to you. Their tax experts are there when you need them, so you can file with complete peace of mind. TurboTax Live's on-demand CPAs and EAs can not only answer your questions and offer advice, they can even review your return with you, going over it line by line, so you can feel confident that you're getting the maximum refund. You've got real tax questions, so TurboTax Live has real tax professionals who can answer them for you. They have CPAs and EAs who are on demand, ready to give you advice and answer questions as you go. Their tax pros get to know you so they can offer personalized suggestions and find all the deductions that you deserve. Whether you're stuck on a specific question or need guidance working through your return, their tax experts can give you the confidence to ensure your return is done correctly. TurboTax Live with CPAs and EAs on demand. See details at TurboTax.com. Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. You know I'm all about this. Not only talking college basketball, but specifically with this gentleman, the head basketball coach at South Carolina. Seventh season at South Carolina. The 2017 National Coach of the Year. He led South Carolina to the final in 2017. They're in first place in the SEC. They're hosting Missouri tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, and he is a friend of the program. Frank Martin is my guest. Frank, it is so good to have you back. How are you?
Romy, how are you, man? I just told your guy there on the phone, I just got out of practice. I'm getting old, man. I'm tired.
You and me both. You and me both, Coach, but we got to grind on. It's what we do. Listen, before we get to the season, you had that big win over Mississippi State. Aside from being old and tired, Frank, how you living? How are things? How's life?
You kidding me, man? I coach basketball for a living. I'm having the time of my life. It beats getting hit in the back of the head at a bar back in the day. So it's I love it. I'm all about coaching, education. I'm around these young kids every day, which make me feel like I'm still 30 years old. Times have changed and things have changed. So kids learn differently. So I got to keep learning, which continues to be what I love to do, which is try to figure out a way to help others.
That's a great answer. Frank Martin joining us. All right. So you beat number 14, Mississippi State, 87-82 in overtime on Tuesday. You've had some really, really nice wins in your time in South Carolina. What did it mean to get that one against a very good Ben Howland team and to do it in front of your own fans?
Oh, that was huge. I mean, Jim, we before Christmas, between how young our team is, which is not an excuse, it's just a fact. We're young. And we dealt with a plethora of injuries, and we challenged our guys. We scheduled really, really hard, playing Virginia, at Wyoming, at Michigan, at Providence, Clemson at home, Wofford, Stony Brook. I mean, we played like unbelievable teams. And we didn't have great success. And then to come back from Christmas, everyone took a deep breath over the little break we gave our guys. And they've been great. And we beat Florida at Florida, who's a real good basketball team, and piggy that back with beating Mississippi State at home, who's one of the better teams in the country. So we've gotten better, which is what matters to me, and we just got to stay the course there.
We are talking to Frank Martin. Frank, go back to what you said about the schedule. I mean, you had a December, which included games against number 5 Michigan, followed by the new number 5 Virginia, and then Clemson. It's a really tough stretch, and the kind of thing that a lot of programs would look to avoid. The results might not have necessarily been what you would have liked, but what do you think your team took from the experience?
You know, you learn about your team when you get punched. I mean, you know, Mike Tyson's famous quote, everything's fun until you get punched in the face. Well, you know, that we got knocked, we got punched, and we got leveled, and our guys responded, which helps me learn about our guys. I like to equate non-conference schedules to, like, guys that are being prepped to be the heavyweight champ. If you fight 20 guys that can't punch back, you don't know who you are until you step in the ring with the champ. You know, we've tried to get punched, and we did, and it hurt, but we didn't cry. Our young kids took on the challenge of getting better, and we have. Does that mean we're going to beat Missouri tomorrow? I have no idea. But I know the guys that are lining up on my side have grown up because of those challenges.
Frank Martin joining us again. Frank, let me ask you about Mike Kotsar. Now, you've said that that's somebody you've had to fight, but in a good way, to get him to believe in himself. What did you mean by that? And did you start to see some of that self-belief showing up in the way he played against the Bulldogs?
Yeah, Mike's got great athleticism. He's got a real good mind. He's strong as an ox. He's 260 pounds. But for whatever reason, he always doubts that he's big enough or strong enough or good enough. And what I meant by I have to fight him is I've got to convince him that he's good enough. And he has moments where he has success, but then he tends to, like, doubt that he can do it again. And that's been the challenge in coaching him. And it all kind of connected the other day. And I hope it's something that continues. He's been good in practice, and I hope he can continue to build on that. So everything we do in life, Jim, is about gaining confidence. The more confidence we build, the more aggressive we are in what we do. I hope this gave him confidence in himself so he can continue to be aggressive.
South Carolina head coach Frank Martin joining us. Frank, a few weeks back, my guy Eric Musselman tweeted a quote from Greg Anthony about how much he loves Tim Gergerich, and then you retweeted it and said, quote, "I just spent 30 minutes with him in Detroit. Not too many people better than him. He's the best," end of quote. Frank, I remember when I was in Santa Barbara back in the day in the Big West Conference, and my alma mater, UC Santa Barbara, would go up against UNLV and Tark and Gerg. Man, everybody loved Gerg. What makes him so special? Why do you have so much respect for Tim Gergerich?
Because he connects with everybody. And he don't connect with everybody because of a bunch of BS. He connects with everybody because of how real he is. Think about this. He gets multi-millionaires that are very, very good at basketball to work their tails off. And it's because of how much he cares. And that's the thing that's why so many people respect him. Because he's not about the nonsense. It's not about the limelight. It's not about walking around, everyone saying that's his name. It's about behind the scenes when no one's looking, caring about helping others. And that's what Gerg's about. He's been about, since 1996, when Sonny Vaccaro hired me to work at ABCD camp, and I was a young high school coach, and I saw Tim Gergerich working guys out, I've never forgotten that moment. And I've always been wanting to build a relationship with him. Because of how genuine he is and how much he cared about others.
Yeah, Frank, mentioning when you were back in 1996 and you were on the way up, do you remember what a 1996 version of Frank Martin was like? Do you remember the types of things that you thought about at that time? Did you envision this life?
Absolutely not. I just know I still fit in a pair of 36 pants back then, Jim.
Right.
And my bench press was close to 400 pounds. Now it's kind of the other way around. It's my waist is closer to the number four, or over the number four. My bench press is way south. But I just wanted to be the coach at the high school in my neighborhood. I still live in the neighborhood. It's the neighborhood that raised me. All I wanted to do was just coach those people in my neighborhood and help them find success the way that neighborhood helped me find success. Little did I expect that I'd be a Division I head basketball coach now.
We're talking to Frank Martin for a few more moments. Let me ask you about somebody else. December 31st marked the end of an amazing run for your equipment manager, Mac. Now, he'd been with the school for more than four decades. And for those who are not familiar with him, what's he like as a person? And what kind of an impact did he have on you and everybody who came through that program?
Yeah, Mac Cradell was the equipment manager here at South Carolina for 46 years.
Huh.
That means for 46 years, that man served the players and the coaches so we can all do our jobs without trying to get any credit for anything. I'm going to give you a quick story about him.
Sure.
I got hired at South Carolina, spring of 12. I'm out recruiting. I finally get home. We got team camp. Friday night, team camp ends. It's 10:30 at night. You know, the gym is a mess. I'm the last one leaving the gym, and me and one of my assistants. And, you know, there's papers everywhere. It's all dirty. I see him on his hands and knees with a towel wiping the floor. I went up to him and I said, "Hey, Mac, we can get someone else to do this." He looked at me. He said, "Frank, it's my job." I never once, ever, ever, ever asked him anything about how to do his job because he cared so much about doing the little things that lets everyone else have success.
Frank Martin, head basketball coach of South Carolina, 7 years now. And again, he led them to the final in 2017. Big game coming up tomorrow night, Missouri at South Carolina, 1 p.m. Eastern. Frank, it is so good to get caught up with you. Great to hear your voice. Great to have you back on. And you know I appreciate the relationship.
Appreciate you, Romy. Next time I'm in L.A., I'm going to come find you.
Looking for a New Year's resolution? Then try this one. Make 2019 the year of the master-built smoker. The big game is just 3 weeks away. Hey, have you ever missed a big play during the game because you were babysitting food on the grill? That's a problem and a hassle. The answer is master-built smoker. Let a master-built smoker simplify your game day experience. Spend more time with your family and friends and actually enjoy the big game. They have the perfect smoker for the beginner or for the barbecue pro. And you'll love how simple it is to produce award-winning grub every single time, with options featuring the ease of electric, traditional charcoal, or the convenience of propane. Master-built smokers are available at Home Depot, Lowe's, Sam's Club, Academy, Bass Pro, and Cabela's. For more information, recipes, and tips, just go to masterbuilt.com. That's masterbuilt.com. Let me tell you about Matt in Vancouver, the belligerent nuck. Matt in Vancouver understands this show. Matt in Vancouver knows exactly what I'm reaching for. So like when I say, who do you like? Put yourself out there. Go on record. This guy understands that I'm not just looking for, yeah, hey, Roma, I got Indianapolis here, plus mine. Matt comes at it with his picks and some attitude. Matt comes at it with his picks and takes. This is how you do this. This email reads, Rome, I got snowboarder luck taking out candy feed and his clock management. I got the soulless ginger clapper going down to the sexy young hair gel addicted phenom. I got Phil's last ride sending Tommy to the lake. I got Doug Peterson and his idiotic visor covering but not beating the insufferable bag, Sean Payton. Matt in Vancouver wore Trevor Price DMing me for my picks next season to help his record. That is like perfectly done. The guy gave me his picks with takes. Gave me his picks with attitude. Matt understands, man. Matt is really good at this show. Good job, Matt. I agree with some of that, but not all of it. And one more email to the flight deck. He's in this week. If you're not watching on CBS Sports Network, if you are, you know. I mean, how would you miss this guy? But if you're listening on the radio and you don't know it, the flight deck, James Kelly, is in for Alvin DeLauro. This email, dear flight deck, that deck of yeah was brutal. Let's get a little practice in and sharpen those skills. Ready, set, go. Give me back my son. That's great, deck. Again, 1-1000, 2-Mississippi, 3-1000. Let's try this one more time, deck. I'm going to read you this email and you get ready to roll. Dear flight deck, that deck of yeah was brutal. Let's get a little practice in, sharpen those skills. Ready, set, go. Give me back my son. Nancy Kerrigan. Howard Dean. Deck, if you can't get one drop, how are you going to do the week that was?
Give me back my son.
Ryan.
No, dude. It was give me back my son, Nancy Kerrigan, Howard Dean. What did you just fire? It wasn't give me back my son. It's not Ryan, it's Ryan. One more time. Last try. That deck of yeah was brutal. Let's get a little practice in, sharpen those skills. Ready, set, go. Give me back my son. Nancy Kerrigan. Howard Dean. Brett Favre. Woo! Give me back my son. Kawhi laugh. Kevin! Fat! Give me back my son. Dude, you didn't get one. Not even one, deck. Regards, Geoff and Lincoln. Man, that's a bad look. I mean, bro, like, you're my favorite XR4TR, but I can't defend that. How the hell are you engineering this show? You can't get one sound drop. Man, that is bad. All right, telephone number 1-800-636-8686. I'm looking at my call screen. Most of these calls are straight hacks. I can't go there. It's not going to make the show better. Let's talk about the Saints for a minute. This week marks the, if you can believe this, 20th anniversary of the start of The Sopranos. So I've got a little pop quiz for you. What is the hottest show on right now? It's not Bodyguard. It's not Killing Eve, although both are awesome. It's not Ozark or Homecoming. Now, my favorite show right now is the show you see in the Saints locker room after a win. If you haven't seen that, I suggest you binge. Binge the reruns before this weekend because it's been pretty amazing. The videos of the post-game dance parties are incredible. And since we're in the award season, the award for best performance by a male lead has got to go to Teddy Bridgewater. This guy's amazing every single time. And if you didn't know it before watching their celebrations, let me tell you about these guys. The Saints? The Saints are loose. Really freaking loose. And very, very motivated. How motivated? Check this out. Let me start by saying this is a tweet from a New Orleans bankruptcy attorney. But the incident has been verified by ESPN and Mark Ingram. Here's the tweet from earlier this week. Quote, yesterday, four armed guards entered the Saints locker room with Coach Sean Payton wheeling the Lombardi Trophy on top of $225,000 in cash. The coach then said, y'all want this? Win three effing games. The locker room erupted. $225K is each player's SB bonus. Hashtag who dat. Now, generally, if something seems too good to be true, you know it is. And that was. You see, it turns out the 225 grand was not 225 grand, only 201 grand, because that's what the bonus would be this year. And depending on which report, it may have only been three armed guards and not four. So to recap, that's Sean Payton, a group of armed guards, the Lombardi, and 201 GER in cash. And if that was not motivation enough, the money quote. Y'all want this? Win three effing games. Man, that is incredible. Does not get any better than that. Man, that's not burying a football after a bad game. You know, it brings to mind something else. Remember a few years back when there was this suggestion that Sean Payton had been in New Orleans too long, that maybe the game had caught up to Sean Payton. Maybe the game had figured him out. Maybe a change of scenery would be good for him and them. Maybe he no longer had that edge, that juice that he once did. Yeah, what's juicier than wheeling in the Lombardi and more than 200 grand in straight cash? Nothing. And after watching the Saints go 13-3 with a ridiculous offense, it's pretty safe to say that the game has not caught up to Sean Payton. And this is not some crazy, desperate, motivational stunt by Payton. This is right in line with who these guys are. This is their identity. They win big. They party. They post it on Twitter and Instagram. They let you know all about it. Like, what happens in that locker room does not stay in that locker room. What happens in that locker room is broadcast to the entire world. They're good, and they're having a good time, and they're not afraid to tell you all about it. And now, just before they face an Eagles team who they absolutely humiliated back in November, Payton is at it again. And unlike Matt in Vancouver, I don't think Payton's a bag. I think this guy's a boss. I love it. Because instead of just talking about taking it one game at a time, he's talking about taking it three games at a time. Instead of avoiding bulletin board material, this dude is practically printing it off and handing it out. And instead of letting his guys coast through a week as they prepare for a team that they beat 48-7, a team where they held less than 200 yards to and racked up nearly 550 yards against, a team they might take for granted, he's got their attention now. Because that's what this is about. It's not about a cool image or about a cool story. It's about telling these guys what they have in front of them. An opportunity for a trophy, a ring, and stacks. Stacks. So did it work? It did for Alex Okafor. Okafor said, quote, I think everybody in this locker room wants a Super Bowl. There's just something in person that adds a little more motivation. And just seeing that Super Bowl trophy, seeing that cash, I mean, if you ain't ready to play after that, then we don't need you. An even better impact was the one that was made on Mark Ingram. Check out Mark Ingram.
I told him I want my presentations look just like that. I want him to come to my house, Lombardi, the glass box of cash, my ring, all that. I want that same presentation. I don't want no direct deposits from this, you know, playoffs. I want all my cash when we're done, you know, at the end. I want my cash coming to the crib looking just like they had it the other day. So, yeah, that was nice.
It was a pretty elaborate setup, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was nice.
It was nice. Hell yeah, it was nice. Man, you think Sean Payton did that the right way? Did you hear the way he described that? I mean, how vivid it was, how descriptive it was. Hell yeah, that was nice. It's better than nice. And if the Saints win, and I'm Mark Ingram, I don't want direct deposit either. I don't want some wireless transfer. Don't Venmo me, Jack. Skip the cash app. Give me the freaking cash straight up and the ring and the trophy. All right, what about the matchup? What about this weekend? Nick Foles has been as good a story as anybody, obviously, in the NFL the last 2 years. Nick Foles has been an absolute magician in pressure situations. Nick Foles might even be a better fit for the Eagles than Carson Wentz. And this Eagles team is better than the one that got smashed up less than 2 months ago by the Saints. But, Foles is going to need more magic than he's ever dialed up to beat Sean Payton, Drew Brees, and a locker room full of guys who just saw 200 grand in cash in their own house and a trophy. Good luck, Eagles. You're going to need it. In fact, I'm going to say it. It's not happening. Philly is not going into the Saints' house and coming out with a win. The Saints have a top five passing attack, a top five rushing attack. They're lighting people up defensively for the first time in a long time. They don't lose at home. They haven't forgotten Minnesota, stunning them a year ago at this time. And they've got a very clear vision of what it's going to be like to get their hands on the trophy and a stack of cash and a ring. And they've got their coach to thank for that. You want another pick? Here it is. I've got the Saints, and I've got them big. No disrespect to Philly. Just respect for the Saints. The Saints at home after a week off. Throwing it the way they do, running it the way they do, he's still Batman. And ding up the way they do. And Sean Payton with one of the most brilliant motivational ploys I've ever seen. And Mike D for three tweets. I told my players to win three effing games. Signed, Hugh Jackson. They did. I mentioned yesterday, America's team. America's team now has America's coach, Freddie Kitchens. An amazing story, too. Oh, wait, whoa. Flight deck, was that Brett Favre? Did you just find Brett Favre? I think that somebody asked for Brett Favre 15 minutes ago. It took you 15 minutes. At the rate you're going, you can finish off that email next Wednesday. Wow. I've already placed my bets for the divisional round. If you want to get down, get to my bookie right now. So watching football is great, right? Yeah, well, it's a lot more entertaining when you've got some action on the games. Guys, you have heard me talking about this for weeks, and some of you are still on the sidelines. Whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at my bookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, then you can create a big parlay. Pick three teams to win, and if you hit all three, you could turn $100 into $600. There is so much to bet on. Football, NBA, NHL custom props, even esports, you name it. MyBookie is the one bet that I know you'll be happy with all year long. I recommend these guys because I trust these guys. MyBookie has been in business for years. They've got great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Do not miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now and use the promo code Rome, and you'll get a 50% deposit bonus. Once again, promo code Rome. You play, you win, you get paid. We're joined now by a 9-year NFL vet. He spent six seasons with the Indianapolis Colts. He was the 2017 Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winner for the Colts. He was a first-team all-conference player at UConn. He was the 41st pick overall in the 2009 draft. Darius Butler is my guest. Darius, really good to have you on. How are you?
How you doing? I'm doing great.
Good. Great to have you. All right, so you spent 6 years with the Colts, so I want to talk to you about them, but I want to get your take also on some of the other games this weekend. Let me start with Indy. When you watch this team right now, what do you think, what do you see, especially when you consider they started the year 1-5?
Oh, man, I see, gritty, a group of gritty guys that are tough. They're playing hard for each other. And you can tell, you know, they never really stopped believing in each other, even when they started off, as bad as they did. You know, they were still in those games, and I can tell in that locker room they felt like they could have probably been 3-3 or 4-2 coming out of that 1-5 stretch. And they played like it all year long, and right now they're probably, the hottest team playing right now.
Darius Butler joining us. What a key point that is you make, that normally you always hear you are what your record says you are, but what you're telling me is if you know this team and you watch this team, they really weren't 1-5. They were in a lot of those games. What about the head coach, Frank Reich? How much credit does he deserve for keeping that team together?
A ton, especially, because the main thing about coaching an NFL locker room is having the guys believe in you. And when you're a rookie head coach, you got to earn a lot of those guys' trust. A good thing about that, they're a young team. So a lot of them kind of, that's just a person in authority. So you all automatically respect that guy. So they got a young team. But Ballard brought the right group of guys in there. They had the right veterans in there, and it shows. But, Frank has done a great, great job all year long. And hats off to Chris for, bringing them in there. And I appreciate Josh McDaniels for doing what he did.
Isn't that incredible? I mean, Josh McDaniels, he's there, he's set, he backs out. Frank Reich, and Darius, how awesome was that at his press conference when Frank Reich said, hey, man, I'm never the first choice. I'm always the backup. I mean, if not for Josh McDaniels, you wonder how this thing looks.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's an identity about a lot of the guys on that team. You think of a guy like Kenny Moore, who had a great year this year. You know, nobody wanted him coming out. He was a free agent coming out, and then he got released or something, and we picked him up last year. A guy like Pierre Desir played great down the stretch, who a lot of teams didn't want him. Darius Leonard, got a lot of guys kind of like, what the hell? You know, we're taking this guy out of HBCU in the second round. Comes in, lead the league in tackles. So, that whole team is made up of a bunch of guys like that, and they're just playing for each other. And I'm looking forward to them going up to KC.
Darius Butler joining us. He played 9 years in the NFL, 6 with Indy. I'm glad you mentioned Darius Leonard. I'm glad you mentioned identity, because when I'm looking at that defense, I'm seeing a defense that's not getting a lot of love, not a lot of attention nationally, and I can't really explain it. I've had Mike Mitchell, I've had Clayton Gethers, I've had Leonard on the program. Every one of these guys can bring it. What do you see when you watch that Colts defense?
Guys that fly around. You can tell Matt Hazlitt, the defensive coordinator, they're held to a high standard. They fly around. You know, it's different ways to play defense in the NFL. And, their way is kind of, they'll give you some things underneath, but you have to earn every yard after you get that ball in your hand. And that's tough to do. A lot of teams don't want to go, on 10, 12, 14 play drives to get some points. You know how the NFL is now. You want big plays. You want to get down the field, score points quickly. And when you try to take those shots, that's when that coach defense takes advantage of you. So I like their formula. And like I said, they got the right guys to come in and execute that.
Yeah, the right guy coaching the defense is Matt Eberflus. Now, you played both corner and safety. If you were coaching the Colts DBs going into this game against Kansas City, what would you be telling them on the back end in terms of stopping Patrick Mahomes in the key?
Man, you know what? Kansas City has so many weapons, and that's what makes them so tough to stop, because, they're losing Kareem Hunt help. Damian Woods has done a good job, but you want to make them one-dimensional, and you got a guy who's thrown 50 touchdown passes, so that's not automatically a win for you. So you got to keep a guy like Tyreek Hill in front of you. You can't let him wreck the game. You can't let him have a game where he has 5 catches and 180 yards and 2 touchdowns. So you got to keep him and make him go the long, hard way. And the same thing with Kelce. You got to bottle Kelce up and then make other guys beat you. That's what it's going to come down to. In the playoff games, your best players got to make the biggest plays. So you keep those two guys bottled up on offense and, make Mahomes beat you with somebody else.
Darius Butler joining us. Darius, what about Andrew Luck? How does he look to you right now? For instance, does he look like the old Andrew Luck prior to shoulder injuries or issues? Or might he be even better than he was then?
I would say better. I would definitely take the latter on that. And that O-line, man, I mean, the times I was there, I came there his rookie year, and we had never had an O-line that could play on this level. And this has been their first year together. It's incredible, and the sky is literally the limit for Andrew Luck with that O-line in a run game. Got like Mac coming in and carrying the load. So and then you got Ebron who came in, and he's Ebron 2.0. You got Luck 2.0. You got T.Y. who's always been T.Y. And then that other group, the rest of the group of the wide receivers have been holding their own weight too. But that O-line, I think they changed everything, and Andrew Luck. He's got the ability to be, that top dog on the AFC side for a while.
Darius, you mentioned you came in with Andrew Luck. You did. You also came in with T.Y. Hilton, and then you mentioned Mac. You know, with the league right now, the league and the fans are focused on passing, but how much, and Andrew Luck can sling it, but how much of this Colts team is proving that if you want to win in January, you still need to be able to pound the ball. You got to run the ball, and you got to stop the run.
I mean, that's what it is. A lot of people get caught up in those fancy highlights, but that's what it is. Like you said, you've been watching the game for a long time, and playoff football, once it starts getting cold outside, you got to bring that run game, you got to pack your defense on the road. If you look at the teams that are left, most of these guys got a solid run game and at least a decent defense. I would say Kansas City probably has the worst defense in the playoffs, but their offense is so high powered that they can get away with it. But everybody else, look at both sides. They have those ingredients. So, like I said, if that O line can come to play like they've been all year, and we can control that line of scrimmage and limit Patrick Mahomes' possessions. I think the outlook looks good for us.
Darius, I want to be careful how I say this because I don't want to be disrespectful, but when I think about the Colts in years past, I mean, tell me I'm wrong if I'm doing this and I'll own it, but it seemed like they were kind of almost a finesse team on some level. Man, they'll line you up and punch you in the face right now.
Yeah. I mean, even if you think about, those great Colts teams, and, before I was even there, the Peyton Manning team, They were always up, and once you get up, 14, 17 points, and you had Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney coming at you, that was their formula. And now they can win. And this team is built to win in different ways. They can beat you on the ground. Obviously, Andrew Luck, if he got to drop back and throw it 45 times, that'll be good for you. And you trust them in the 2-minute drives you need them. And then the defense, they can get that ball back for you, and they can limit offense. They haven't gave up a 100-yard rusher yet this year. So, it's crazy to think that, coming into this year, the expectations that everyone had for them and where they are right now.
Darius, you mentioned Dwight Freeney. When I think about the Colts and I think about some great defensive players, one of my favorite NFLers ever, he's almost like a mythical figure to me. I have no idea where he is. Remember Bob Sanders flying around? What did you think when you used to watch Bob Sanders?
He was a missile, man. He was like a heat-seeking missile. You had Bob Sanders. You had, Bethea back there. You had Gary Brackey. You had a lot of guys on defense who made a lot of plays. But, obviously the offense, on that side of the ball, they probably had, three or four Hall of Famers at any given time. So they obviously took a lot of the praise. But, it was amazing. It was a blessing for being able to play, with a guy like Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis and learned a lot from those guys.
Great players. Darius Butler joining us. My man, you sound like an analyst already. So before I let you go, how about the Chargers and the Patriots? We know all the numbers. We know all the facts. We know all the figures. We know how challenging it is to go into Foxborough this time of year, especially when they've had a week off and the hoodie's got more time to prepare. What do you think about the Chargers' chances? Can you make an argument for them?
No.
In a word.
That's my personal opinion. The only team I will pick on the AFC side over the Patriots right now is the Colts. And obviously they have to beat Kansas City. I don't think Kansas City will go in there. They would have to go to Kansas City to end up being the Patriots in Kansas City. But I would still like the Patriots chances. And I would definitely take the Patriots over the Chargers. The Chargers struggled on getting by with Baltimore last week. And watching that game, I felt like Baltimore, obviously their offense struggled mightily for pretty much the entire game until the fourth quarter, and they couldn't pull away from those guys, and I don't see that happening in Foxborough.
Hey, Darius, what is it? Is it the sticker on the helmet? Is it Brady's name on the back of the jersey? Is it the guy with the cutoff sleeves? What is it?
It's a combination of all of it. And when you walk in that place, it's just a little eerie feeling, man. You feel like, you know, at least one or two things are going to happen that's kind of that's just not supposed to happen. And, you know, the way that they, you know, have their thing set up with Belichick and obviously Brady's been as great as he is. They almost make you beat yourself. So, and then when you don't, they're good enough to make plays to beat you. So, it's a combination of things, but, we'll see. But until somebody knocks them off, you know, they're the gold standard on that side of the conference.
He played 9 years in the NFL. He played six of those seasons with the Colts. He was a 2017 Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winner for the Colts and played his college ball at UConn. Darius, great to get caught up. I appreciate you and really nice to have you on. Thanks so much for that.
Hey, appreciate you for having me, Jim.
I know some of you want to talk about Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow popped the question, which means Tim Tebow is getting married, which means Tim Tebow ultimately is going to get nice. He's going to consummate this thing sooner than later, I'm sure. Unfortunately, you clones are dealing with this the way I would expect. I'm not really into talking about what's going to happen on his wedding night. I'm not talking about him being abstinent. I totally respect it. I could not respect the fact that he saved himself as long as he did. I don't care. It's neither here nor there. I'm not interested in your thoughts as to how long he's going to last, quote unquote. What the hell do I care about that? I don't. I'm not tweeting any of this. I'm not responding to this. If you want to get into the way he did it and the way he packaged it and the way he marketed it and the way he sold it, I think that's fair game. But for the record, I really don't address other people's faith. That's not my concern. And I could not respect this guy or the choices he's made. Man, the guy's a winner. The guy's such a good guy. Not a great football player, and really not a good baseball player. Great college player. But in terms of the way he handles himself, what he represents, the fact that he's virtuous, these are all amazing things. These are great things. The fact that he saved himself, who cares? I respect that. I mean, I saved myself till I was like 9. But I've already talked about that. I'm not going there again. Anyway, the theme question, the trivia question. What was I doing in Ontario for 3 days in a hotel room where I signed a waiver where I was not allowed to leave or drink? Daniel Wheatley tweets, Romy, I live in Chino, and I don't want to go to the Ontario Mills. Steve PHX tweets, you were in rehab. No, I was not in rehab. That's not what that was. Charlie in Goochland, witness protection program. No. Chris, no longer in St. Pete. Were you doing an intervention for Jan Michael Vincent? No. At WireMe 500, Tony Robbins seminar. That's a good guess. No. Denlesks tweets, who is filling in for Alvin while he's mentoring Tebow? Brian C60 tweets, wore Tebow showing up in a singlet when his wife asked him to wrestle. Jorts tweets, they hooked you up on a 3-day timeshare presentation. No. Hedstrom Bacon tweets, did Marty abduct you and go full on Kathy Bates misery? No. Jeremy tweets, were you in Ontario as a chaperone for one of your son's sports teams? No. Jim, you were stuck in a hotel room for 3 days because Axel Roast passed out in the hallway like Snorlax and nobody could escape. Brett from Bugaha, really good at this show. Brett, you suck at this show. Nobody's worse at this show than you, Brett. And no, that's not the answer either. Let's go to a telephone call that's going to make this show better. Buffalo. Rick in Buffalo on a Friday. Hey, Rick, how are you? What's up?
World-class fat-ass Bob Kraft. has produced more pond scum than anyone over the last 20 years. And Josh McDaniels is floating right at the top. This D-bag wasted everyone's time announcing he's staying in New England. Like anyone thought for a second you were going to stray from the warm bosom of Bill Belichick, you friggin' baby. McDaniels is your prototypical spoiled Bostonian bitch. Can't make it on his own, so he keeps running back to daddy. Have fun with the scraps the hoodie leaves you in a couple years, because things are going to go about as well as they did in Denver, you friggin' zero. And I can't wait for Sunday afternoon's game, Jim. Every intelligent football fan knows that delusional Patriot dynasty ended when Brady fumbled away the Super Bowl last year. And now we'll get the proper burial. Chargers 41, Cheaters 10. Wore Frank Reich being 1,000 times the coach and 1,000 times the man than that bitch Josh McDaniels will ever be. Wore Anthony Lynn bringing some of that Buffalo toughness to Foxborough this weekend. Wore Silk in Huntington Beach. Get that champagne on ice, brother. Thanks for the vine, Jim. I'm out.
Rick in Buffalo. It goes without saying you'll rack that call. And he's really good at it. Really good at this show. Elevates the conversation. Makes the show better. He's so angry, man. He's belligerent. He's got vitriol. He's got venom. He wants to fight. He's a teacher. And he called his shot. Pond scum. I like Josh McDaniels. I don't like the way he handled that. But nobody in Indy gives a damn. They got the coach they needed. They got the coach they wanted. He wasn't their first choice. The first choice is not always the best choice. Josh McDaniels backing out the way he did was the best thing that ever happened to the Colts because they got Frank Reich. I like Josh McDaniels. They got Frank Reich and they got Matt Eberflus and they've won 9 out of 10 and they're dangerous as hell. That was a good thing. Darius Butler joked about it. He said it. He said, thanks to Josh McDaniels. I think Josh McDaniels is a great offensive coach. I think the guy can once again be a good head coach. They wouldn't be where they are right now with Josh McDaniels. I'm going to argue they wouldn't be where they are right now with any other coach than Frank Reich. I'm not sure I've ever seen a head coach like Frank Reich. Frank Reich was out of the game. Frank Reich was a pastor. Frank Reich does not yell. Frank Reich does not cuss. Frank Reich is pure, man. I've never seen a head coach like that. You know, except for, actually, you want to know what? Except for another guy who was there too, Tony Dungy. And it worked. I wonder about McDaniels. McDaniels did not get any of those jobs. So now where does that leave him? When he did what he did to Indy, I thought that was career suicide as it relates to him being a head coach. And then it didn't seem like it was that bad of a thing at all. Like, it's the NFL. They'll overlook it. They'll forget it. If they can get a guy that's going to help them win, it'll be fine. But then he didn't end up with anything right now. So now does he wait for the hoodie to ultimately walk away and take that job? Maybe. Then again, Mike McCarthy didn't back out of anything, and he didn't get any of those jobs. 1-800-636-8686. Let's try Nooch, Little Rock, Arkansas. Nooch, that's a tough act to follow. What's going on, Nooch?
That is a tough act to follow, Romy. And I'm going to go ahead and be the first to say it. Rick is good at this show, man. Rick is good at this show like I'm good at rolling. First things first, Romy, this is my first call of 2019, bro, so happy New Year. I want you to know that I'm going to bake harder this year than I ever have. New Year, new Nooch. Okay. To get right to it, man, this weekend, Philly fans going to drag their fat, alcoholic asses over to the Big Easy. I've seen this before, Romy. These losers are going to flood Bourbon Street with their gamers on, getting plastered, acting as classless as you would expect Philly fan to act, climbing up poles. But, Romy, you can't really blame them, man. They got big dreams. They want to go back-to-back. Philly fan, this is like a vacation until the Big Easy turns into the Big Nasty, Romy. Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, and the GOAT Drew Brees are going to take the field and start burning pools like dried up pre-rolled blunts. They're going to grind that dream up and dump it into a bowl and take a blowtorch to it, sending Nick Foles and his incredible beak back to Philly with his squad of Eagles that are going to be more busted up than Chael Sonnen's face. But hey, Philly fan, it's not all that bad, man. In NOLA, the only thing that's cheaper than the booze is the hookers. Maybe that way you'll get your money's worth. Hey, War, Matt, and Tyler having a beautiful romantic dinner bumping Savage Garden. I'm out.
Damn, Stoner. I was going to say you're pretty good at this show, too. Nooch. Nooch saying new year, new Nooch, and that he's going to bake harder than he ever has before. That's not bad. He's no Rick in Buffalo, but that's not bad. Ridley Badluck 13 guesses on Twitter. I said, why would I be in a hotel in Ontario for 3 days after having signed a waiver which did not allow me to leave or drink? I mean, who the hell would do that? Ridley Badluck tweets, gotta love that Fortune 109 training class waiver. Wore the best job in the company, was the worst job in the world. My man nailed it. That's what that was. When I got out of UC Santa Barbara, I went into business and I got out of radio for a little while. And I tried my hand at sales. Went to work for the family company. My old man fired me. He said, what are you going to do now? I said, I'm going to go sell. Because if I can sell, I can do anything. He said, I just fired you because you can't sell. I said, hey, no disrespect, Pops. I can't sell what you make. I'll sell something else. I go to a headhunter. Headhunter runs me out. I get offered a job at Harris Lanier, Fortune 109. When they sent me out there, they said to me, hey, listen. Listen to me. This is the job that everybody wants. This is the best thing that we send people out for. This is the golden ticket. Go get it. Went out, got the gig. It was awesome. Then they sent me to sales school. They sent me to the Ontario Hilton. I stay there for 3 days, and they make a sign a waiver. You cannot leave. You cannot drink. You role play. You sit in this class. You go up against 5 or 6 other dudes who think they're going to be good, who think they're going to like their job. You match wits. And then we send you out with some crappy product in a crappy territory and expect you to survive. But when they send you out, they send you out. The office sends you out and says, listen, do not let us down. Every one of the people that we send to sales school wins. It's a matter of pride. You know, it's like the Breakfast Club. Win, win, win. Get the freaking golden pen. Do us proud. Get your ass back here. Take over the world. So I go to the Ontario Hilton, and I lived there for 3 days. And I had a roommate, kid by the name of Scott Emery. Scott Emery was a great guy, man. Loved him. Awesome dude. Good-looking dude. Had a good rep, or good rap. Just had a good way about him, man. Really cool dude. Kind of guy you'd want to go out a few beers with. You know, you could look at the guy and, like, you knew he's a lady killer, good athlete. He was going to be a good sales rep for sure. So I'm motivated. I'm like, man, I got to win this class. I got to win this class. And it comes right down to the wire, and I'm killing it, man. I'm motivated. I'm fired up. Amazing thing was, and you probably won't believe this because I don't know if there's anybody in the history of the world who could say this. I was the one person that I knew that never, ever cheated in high school or college on any test. I just wasn't wired for it. I was not wired for it. And I always prided myself in that. And before I went to sales school, the manager of the office that sent me out goes, dude, Rome, come here, man. Come here. I'm like, yeah, what's up, boss? He's like, here are the answers to the final. Take this with you. I'm like, no, I can't do that. Look, man, you got to win that class. You got to win that gold pen. You have to. Take them. I'm like, yeah, all right. All right. I'm not looking at him. It comes down to the last test, the gold pen for the last test. And I'm sitting there, my roommate, Emery's like, bro, you seem awfully calm. What's going on? I'm like, what do you mean, what's going on? Everything's cool. He's like, everything hasn't been cool for the 3 days we've been here. What's going on with you? I'm like, nah, man, I feel pretty good about this. I got this. I'm good. Of course I was good, man. I had the test. I had all the answers. First time in my life I cheated. I nailed that, man. I crushed that thing. I got that freaking gold pen. And then I went out in the field, and after 29 days, I quit, man. Job sucked. Product sucked. Yeah, because I was going to sell a $2,500 answering machine. Emery will back me up on that. But I won that gold pen, man. They can't take that from me. Right now, we are joined by the head basketball coach at Marquette. He is in his fifth season with the Golden Eagles. Marquette is 13-3. They're 2-1 in Big East play. They're currently number 19 in the coaches' poll. They're hosting Seton Hall tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern. Steve Wojciechowski is my guest. Steve, it is so nice to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Always good to have you on, Steve. So you're coming off a win over Creighton. Let me start right there. That was Wednesday night. Marcus Howard had a Big East record 53. Steve, you've been around the game a long time as a player, an assistant, now as a head coach. How many performances have you seen like that one?
Never seen anything like it. I have never seen anything like it. And you're talking about a young man in Marcus who a year ago had 52 and has had 40 points and a half earlier this season and 45 in a game. So when you're talking about magical performances, he's had those. But the way the game was going at Creighton and the things that he did given the game situations was just absolutely incredible. And I always get asked, are you surprised by – you know, what he's doing. And I guess I'm past the point of being surprised. He's such a good player that he's capable of making magic happen on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, that's unbelievable praise, but I can understand why you'd say that. And let's be straight about this. It was not just 53. It was 53, and then he had 14 in overtime, and he did so on the road. But then, of course, that game does not go to overtime without a little magic from Sam Hauser. You're down 5 with 8 seconds left, and then you cut it to 3, and then Creighton's inbound pass didn't touch anybody. So you've got a chance to inbound, down 3, 0.8 seconds left. Hauser gets the pass. He immediately shoots a 3. It goes down. I mean, what was that moment and that whole sequence like for you?
Well, it was surreal. You know, the amount of things that had to go right for us and wrong for Xavier in such a short time span. I've never been a part of a game like that, and I'm sure I'll never be a part of it again. I've never seen an ending to a game like the one we had in Creighton. And, you know, we were very fortunate to have won the game. But I'm also proud that our guys never stopped believing and competing, and it's a great lesson to be able to share with our team that you always keep playing through the final buzzer, because you're never, you know, it's never over till it's over. And I know that's an old cliche, but if there's any perfect example of that, I think it was our game versus Creighton.
See, let me go back to Howard for a minute, because I mean, he's such an amazing player, but while he's an amazing player, it's kind of easy to lose track or side of the fact that he's a person who was part of a group of student-athletes who went to Costa Rica back in May to build a basketball court. Now, he could have been working on his game. He could have been focused on himself, but he said that trip put his mind in the right place for the season. Again, I'm really impressed that somebody like that would say something like that. What's it say about him as a person?
Well, as good as he is as a basketball player, and I'm biased, certainly. I think he's as good, if not the best guard in the country. It's eclipsed by his character. I mean, he went on the mission in the summer to build courts in really tough areas. And he gave up really his only 10-day break of the summer between the end of our school year and the start of summer school to do it. So he's given up what essentially amounts to a vacation to, you know, build courts for underprivileged kids. He's also a kid who started a fellowship of Christian athletes here at our school. He's just tremendous in the community, an amazing role model, not only for kids that look up to him, but adults too. You know, he really is a man for others. And, you know, it's that type of person that it's so easy to root for, because he embodies everything that you would want a student athlete to be about, not only on the floor, but off the floor. And it's been an honor to coach him. And Marquette and our community is very lucky to have him on our team.
Marquette head basketball coach Steve Wojciechowski is my guest. Speaking of Marquette, you know, it's only January. I know you're not going to plan any parades because of what you've done so far this season. That said, when you look at how important basketball is to the culture of Marquette University and how important Marquette basketball is to the history of college basketball, how good does it feel then to be in the top 20 right now?
Oh, it's great. I mean, obviously, like you said, Jim, this is a place that's got great history and tradition. tremendous coaches, tremendous players have come through here now as the caretaker of the program to have our program in a position if we continue to improve and do the things that we've done to this point is to have an outstanding season and put ourselves in a position to do some really neat things. We're all very excited about it. Our campus community is excited. The Milwaukee community is excited. Got across my desk today. We're ninth in the country in attendance. We're averaging over 16,000 fans a night, which is pretty incredible when you consider our school is only 8,000 undergrads. So there's tremendous excitement and momentum with our program, and I think it all starts with our players. We got a group that's really easy to root for. They're good at basketball, but you know, I think everybody around here at least recognizes that we got a good group of kids that compete hard, compete for one another, and are trying to honor the jersey to the best of their ability.
Steve, I'm curious. You know, I mentioned you had a great career as a player, and one of the hallmarks of your career when you played was you always seemed so cool and calm under pressure. So if you would, take me back to when you first went to Poland to play pro basketball. How much did you know about what you were getting into, and how calm and cool were you on that flight?
I was scared out of my mind. Mm. Calm and cool would probably be the last two words to describe me. You know, you got to remember, Jim, that was before the world was as small as it is now. I mean, there were no cell phones. I mean, I had to call collect or go to a payphone to reach my family back in the States. The internet was not a thing. Email was not a thing. And so the world was really small. And so when I got off the plane, there was nobody to meet me, first of all,
wow.
When I got off the plane. And I'm in Poland, and I know my name's Wojciechowski, but only speak a little bit of Polish. And I'm thinking, what in the world did I get myself into? And I just left the friendly confines of Cameron Indoor Stadium and the Duke basketball program, which obviously treats its players at an elite level, and I'm walking into an unknown. So I was scared. But in hindsight, it was a great experience to go through, and I'm glad I did it. And then I was really glad when I got back to the States.
Wow. Steve, I got to ask you, that's a great story. I always love talking to guys about their days and what that was like, because it's so different than playing in the NBA. For example, in some situations, fans were smoking during the game, and getting paid by the team is not always easy. What was payroll like for you back in the day? How did you get paid?
You know what? I didn't, for the most part, which was a problem.
Hmm.
The team that I was on was sponsored by a Russian trucking company. And if you can remember that, at that time in the late 90s, the Russian economy just bottomed out. So it was always when I asked about my pay, you know, like, oh, yeah, we're going to get you next week. We're going to get you next week. And so after about 3 months, I realized we're going to get you next week didn't exactly mean what it meant in the States. So I did get some cash here and there, but I didn't walk away from there with a rainy day fund. Let's just put it that way.
No, I get it. Before I let you go, you played for Coach K. You worked with Coach K. As you look back right now, is there anything about Coach K that you appreciate even more now that you're a head coach that maybe you didn't know about him then?
Well, I think I've always had a great level of appreciation, but his ability to build relationships and maintain relationships over the years. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's coached for 40 years, and you know, if you talk to each player individually, you know, I think all of them would say they have a special relationship, you know, with him. And to consider over four decades that each guy would feel that way is pretty incredible. I mean, obviously from a basketball standpoint, it doesn't get any better. But from just a personal standpoint, now he cares about his players. That's the thing that stands out to me. And, you know, obviously, Jim, there's nothing I can do to repay Coach. So for me, you know, my job now, at least the way I look at it, is try to pay it forward to the people I interact with and the kids that I coach.
100%. Marquette, number 19 in the coaches poll. They're having a really nice year, 13-3 overall, 2-1 in Big East play. Marquette is at home where things are banging. They're at home against Seton Hall tomorrow. Steve, really nice to get caught up. I appreciate you coming on this show always. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Good luck.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Flight deck, are you ready to roll the week that was? Then go ahead, Deck. Let's see what you got. We are live in Southern California. I'm Jim Rome. Hope you had a great weekend. What's going on? Welcome to the jungle. All right, so wild card weekend. Four games. Each one had something that blew your mind. And even if the first three did not do it for you, then the last one, Philadelphia at Chicago, had to.
Yeah! Touchdown, Golden Tate! By the Super Bowl MVP, Nick Foles.
Of course he did. Because that's what Nick Foles does. He goes from good quarterback to unreal in pressure moments. And he's doing it again. Charles Robinson joining us.
That was a moment where he had to be perfect. He's perfect on it. This guy goes on a run to the Super Bowl again. Man, that's going to be an interesting conversation.
Nick Foles and Frank Sinatra both need specially constructed underwear to conceal their massive dong.
Ah! Frank Sinatra's got nothing to do with nothing. Parkey's not the reason that your life has not turned out the way you had hoped. You are. Unlike some of you, he handled that with complete class and dignity.
Emailed.
Wore double doinking on the first date. Dana Holgorsen is my guest.
Got to work hard to get it to the next step. Wasn't facing anything any different than what we did here the last 8 years at West Virginia. Going to do the same thing at Houston.
You got a quality quarterback in Russ Wilson. Man, put the ball in his hands. Pete Carroll.
Really disappointing that we put out such a miserable first half in football. To be that far behind the sticks with penalties and all that.
Anything else? Terry, you made it in. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Thanks, Jim. Welcome. I am welcome to be in the jungle for the first time. Appreciate it.
What a scrub, man. That's a new one we can't have.
Email.
Yeehaw, Jimmy Crackhorn. Dagnabbit, Jimmy. We've been having us a boot scooting, hollering, hooting, heck of a good old time here in San Francisco. And cousin Darla needs another one of them dang old over-the-shoulder boulder holders. You're not drinking, and you're training for a marathon. And you're on a diet. Shouldn't you be peak health? Hawk, you should be able to work 18-hour days, not 18-minute days. Days.
Tungavaloa gets tickled. What a play for the Clemson defense.
It was
a nice, swift half kicking.
Dabo did not just put a clown suit on Nick last night. He ran a lap around his program.
For me and my Clemson Tigers.
It would be very easy for me to come and pile on Imagine Dragons. They had almost as bad a night as Alabama. So whatever that check was, I hope it was big and I hope it cleared. It was so bad. That 40 is my guess. What kind of odds would you put on there right now of there being a Clemson-Alabama five.
Even money. I think there's a great chance that it happens again. Absolutely points toward Clemson Bama 5 next year.
Email.
The only thing more explosive than the Colts is Hawks diarrhea. Chad in Orlando. That's great, Chad. Stay strong with that second grade mentality. Alvin, Cardinals hiring Cliff Kingsbury. This is where that league is headed. Surround this guy with good veteran assistance, and you can once again get some juice back in the desert. Either way, it's a big swing. I'm into it. I can't wait to see how it goes. Rodney Harrison is my guest.
Jim, let me tell you something, man. I've always watched you for years. Always had a lot of respect for you, man. It's always so kind and courteous to me and giving me a platform to always come on, man. I appreciate you, and I think you do a wonderful job.
Email.
Did you just say that Bruce Arians had the look? I thought I had the look. Signed, Roxette. I will allow that. Shaka Smart, my guest. Your coaching tree, how much pride is there for you in seeing the success that these guys have had?
Not so much pride, Jim. Just more being happy for them. I'm just appreciative.
Burlington! Cedar Rapids! Clinton! I want to hear from the Quad Cities. Are there any Lumber King fans out there? We were talking to Cliff Kingsbury for a couple of more moments. What do you say to Trojan fans?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I turned down a bunch of opportunities to be a Trojan and go to USC, but this came up and it was just one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities that I couldn't pass up.
Who got Mackenzie Bezos Instagram or Twitter?
Always be closing.
Man, always be shooting your shot. George McPhee is my guest. Grant Napier.
When you're done with him, he looks like what would happen if Ron Howard got a bunch of Botox. So this is pretty much as good as he gets.
That's some serious abuse. You know, it doesn't cost you anything to be nice.
Mike in the Bay.
I think my plan is to go all 1906 and make my brand burning this town into the ground.
Earthquakes are nothing to joke about.
Reverse. Look at him take off.
We're talking Melvin Gordon.
After he did that, we went crazy, man. He was like, man, the energy I got from that, I was just so jacked. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about, man.
You had Joe Flacco on the sideline, not Joe Montana.
Hey! I just wanted to let you know that my man Toby in Houston says hello.
Banana shake.
Jim, thanks for having me. I'm a big fan of you.
Freddie lives in the kitchen.
Deuces.
You twerp.
Go Tigers.
You don't want criticism, then play better.
Take care, man. Go Cowboys.
Flight deck. Can I get a deck of yeah? 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000.